You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. A very busy Saturday of action as well. We've got the Super Sprint at Newbury, a car that includes the Group 3 Hackwood Stakes as well. We've got Market Raisin, where they have the Summer Hurdle and the Summer Plate. There's Newmarket, Ripon, Cartmel and the Curragh alongside that. Big day at the Curragh as well. Irish Oaks Day, classic action to look forward to over the Irish Sea. And as if that weren't enough, we've got Doncaster and Haydock as well in the evening. Plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joined by a new voice on the Racing Podcast this week. It's a very good afternoon. Kate Tracy, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Obviously, this is the first time a lot of our listeners will have heard you, but you do a lot in racing anyway, don't you?
I do, yes. So this is my first time kind of doing a podcast or doing anything on the radio, but I've worked in racing my entire working life. I started off at Philip Hobbs's. I was there for 5 seasons, kind of progressed through the rankings, as it were, then finished off with my journalism qualifications and then finally find myself here. So, yes, really good progression.
Good stuff. So you start with Philip Hobbs. Are you more of a jumps fan than a flat fan, or do you take it all as it comes?
Oh, it's racing at the end of the day for me. Of course, I'm probably more at home with the jumps in terms of work-wise, but anything. Absolutely love it all.
Okay. Big memories down the year. Obviously, you've been to Cheltenham Festivals and Royal Ascots and stuff like that. What's your big racing memory or your favourite horses down the line?
See, from a personal point of view, my best day in racing to date would definitely be Fingal Bay winning the Potemps final at the Cheltenham Festival. I looked after him. Oh, nice. I rode him every day, did all of his schooling and his work. And that day, I wouldn't be the most emotional kind of person. That had me in pieces that day. Sprinting up the chute at Cheltenham, trying to catch up with him when the photo finish was just a high that that would be hard to reach again.
I imagine it would be. Yeah, it'd be great to welcome in a winner that you're so closely connected to. Any star names down the line, or you know, favourite jockeys or performances, or you know, what really got you into racing to start with?
To get into racing, the very thing that caught me at the start was, believe it or not, I'm from Cornwall originally, so Newton Abbott was relatively my local track, and every summer going down to there. And there used to be a duel between two horses, Javelin by Nigel Hawke and Mantusis, trained by Philip Hobbs, actually. And they used to constantly battle each other at Newton Abbott. And that is what really, it's not kind of a big flashy statement race. They were just sort of standard handicaps, but they really, really got me into racing. And from the age of 5, seeing them, I decided that's all I ever wanted to do.
So you've gone into journalism now. And what meetings or what events do you look forward to most throughout the year? Like as a journalist rather than actually being involved with a stable nowadays?
Well, the most entertaining to date was Royal Ascot. That's the biggest one I've covered the whole way through so far as a journalist. And it was a complete side of the meeting that I never saw. As you say, from a journalism perspective, you see a completely different aspect to the race meetings. And I just had the best time. I was there for all 5 days. I was actually hosting in the hospitality then, trying to give out the tips and winners. And it actually went quite well. So that always helps.
Did you tip up the Frankie four-timer?
No. Gosh, no. I think 2 of those I got. Right, Stradivarius. I'll take that.
I'll get Stradivarius, by the way.
Amazing. Yeah. That's more my kind of distance.
Yeah. Turn your attention to some of Saturday's action then. We're going to get you punditing these races. So you're charged with finding us winners here as well as at Royal Ascot. And the big race of the afternoon is the 5:10 at the Curragh, the Irish Oaks, a Group 1 for the 3-year-old fillies. A tremendous looking turnout as well. You know, you've got Aidan O'Brien with a few, you've got Joseph O'Brien with a few in there, a favourite in there in Iridesa. You've got British Raiders as well, and actually the British Raiders have a very good record in the Irish Oaks. William Haggis's Sea of Class won it last year. John Gosden's won it with Enable recently. He also won it with Great Heavens as well, not too many years ago. Hugo Palmer's had a winner there. We've even had French winners. The Irish actually don't do very well in the Irish Oaks, apart from Aidan O'Brien, as you would expect. He's had Bracelet and Seventh Heaven when it in the past few years. So in terms of this year's renewal, John Gosden's, I'm just trying to remember the name of it now.
Starcatcher.
That's the one. I should get it in front of me, shouldn't I? Starcatcher, possibly the best of the British Brigade, but do you think it goes to Britain this year? Or
yeah, I actually didn't realise until I read the story this week just what a stranglehold we had on the Irish Oaks there. But yeah, we and again, it's the approach of quantity over quality, and Starcatcher is quality as proven in the Ribblesdale, winning that so well. Frankie, of course, has been booked back on board, and as Anthony Oppenheimer said in the week, you know, they wouldn't have supplemented the €40,000 to be in this race on Tuesday if they didn't think she had a live chance. And they also said this is the last Group 1 contest for three-year-old fillies they're going to be able to enter in the year. So they have to go for it. And she's got a really, really live chance in this. I do like her a lot. And the only issue is if this rain hasn't fully got in, the ground might be the slightest bit of concern for her. But other than that, I do like her a lot.
Okay, so you like Starcatcher. What about the market leader then? The betting has actually just been taken down as we record this, which makes it a little bit more difficult. But Iridesa was the anti-post favourite, if you like, or in the build-up to the race, has been favourite all week. Arrives in winning form, having won over 10 furlongs at the Curragh. So the trip's a little bit of a question mark.
Yes, definitely so. And Joseph O'Brien has said in the week that he feels confident that she's going to be able to make the step up to a mile and four. But obviously, it's not guaranteed. But she is by ruler of the world, you know, a Derby winner. So, and the way that she won the Pretty Polly last time, it looked like she got every yard of the 1 mile too, and I think she'll perform even better over further again. And you know, she made Pink Dogwood look like she didn't really have that much of a turn of foot during that, so I like her a lot, and she is 100% the right favourite.
That actually brings us on to Pink Dogwood, who we saw finishing second in the English Oaks at Epsom, dropped to 10 last time, and you said didn't really have probably the toe to go over that trip. Back over a mile and a half, do you think we'll see the margin between those two closer, at least?
Definitely. I do think we'll see it a lot closer, but she has got the most questions to answer in this race. She obviously, the kind of a general consensus coming out of the Oaks was that she was the horse that later down the line should probably turn out to be the best, and she would take that form forwards. But you know, she kind of fluffed her lines really last time out, and I was surprised. I thought she was better than that, and she just, to me, she didn't show anywhere near a similar kind of turn of foot as she showed in the Epsom Oaks. And so I am doubting her. And to be honest with you, I'm not too confident. I mean, she's the most beautiful looking horse you could ever wish to see. She's gorgeous. But yeah, a few more question marks to answer. And she's obviously already been beaten by a few of these in the race as well, in Tritheus most notably.
What about the Rafe Beckett pair, as always? You mentioned those, shouldn't we? Antonio de Vega and Manuela de Vega. Rafe Beckett, of course, has a great record with his fillies down the years, his three-year-old fillies. He's won the Epsom Oaks a few times, Talent, the most recent of his winners there at Epsom. So he should have a decent chance with the Irish variety, you'd imagine.
He should do. And it's going to be really entertaining for a commentator with Manuela and Antonia in it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Latin sitcom or something that we're going to have going on watching these two going out there. But Manuela de Vega, obviously Harry Bentley got the choice. He's gone for Manuela de Vega, whose form probably stacks up more so than Antonia de Vega's. Really good fourth in the Oaks. We're not entirely sure how strong the form of the Oaks has been just yet. But she's done nothing wrong. Second in the Cheshire Oaks. So I do like her a lot. And I think that Harry's chosen the right horse. However, Antonia de Vega, you know, apart from the eighth place finish when she finished last on her penultimate start, and she finished lane that day, so completely draw a line through that. She's obviously a hard enough filly to keep sound, but really has been impressive on the three other starts. Really good at Newbury last time, and with the rain, is only ever a positive for her going forwards in this. She's got a scratchy enough stride, so I don't know if the big galloping kind of track at the Curragh will necessarily suit her action, but she's done nothing wrong and completely forgiving of that last place finish. You know, she can't do anything about being lame.
No, you can't, no. And she's come out last time and proven that she's back somewhere near fit as well, so hopefully she will run her race at the very least. Any others that we haven't mentioned there that you want to throw into the mix?
Yeah,
as well?
I really do like Tritheus. I don't know why she hasn't been mentioned more, Jessie Harrington's. I mean, Jessie said in the week that she's just really come of age now. She's really strengthened the whole time. She beat Pink Dogwood when she was a two-year-old at the Curragh. And her other win since that was in the Irish Oaks trial, where she won comfortably, staying on really well that day. Obviously, that's a mile two. So I don't think it'd be any issue for her to go up again. And yeah, third in the Irish 1,000 Guineas trial. I don't think she's done much wrong, really. So I'm surprised she's not being talked up more so.
Yeah, I think she's going to be around about a double figure price as well, looking at the predicted prices in front of me there. And Jessica Harrington continues to do well in both cars, doesn't she?
Yeah.
So Tritheus, then, the one that Kate likes in that Irish Oaks. You can, of course, listen to all of that on William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday, along with the action elsewhere. We've got the big race at Newbury, the big betting race of the day, if you like, the 340, the Weatherby Super Sprint. Two-year-olds in action over five furlongs, just the 25 of them to go to post here. We're paying four places as well here at William Hill, which is a bit of an added bonus. So fifth of the odds, 1, 2, 3, and 4 if you're having an each-way bet. Ventura Rebel, the favourite at 11-8 at the moment. 7-1 Never in Paris. Mighty Spirit is 8-1. 9-1 for M10. Separate is 14. 16's Taxi Waller. 20-1 for Electric Ladyland. Interesting name for a horse. And 25-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. We'll start with Ventura Rebel as we must. 11-8 at the top of the market. Richard Farr, he's got a really good record in the Weatherby Super Sprint. Won it recently with Bengali Boys, if I can speak. Latham as well, a previous winner for him. And Pena Phobia in the last few years. So he does well, but 11-8 in a 25-runner race would be skinny enough for me. What do you make of it?
I agree. I kind of wasn't really raised to back short price favourites. However, Ventura Rebel is 100% the right favourite. I mean, only just beaten in the Norfolk Stakes by Ayali. Obviously, that being a Group 2, won first two starts, you know, beating JM Jackson, who's regarded enough into second then, and then followed that up beating a Wesley Ward's odds-on shot at Ascot then in Lady Pauline. She seemed to be going away that day, so 100% the right favourite. And yes, I really do see that. But I do like Never in Paris, though, who's up there in the market as well. Won the sole start at Nottingham. That was over five furlongs, beating an Archie Watson two-year-old, which, you know, in any walk is no mean feat in itself. And is by no name ever, who obviously is in a cracking vein of form at the minute as a sire, with his progeny coming out and winning left, right and centre.
So that's the front two in the market then. We have had some pretty big price winners of this race in the past. So any bigger prices that have caught your eye potentially as an each-way angle?
As an each-way angle, I'm going to stay loyal to Show Me, Show Me. He let me down at a Chester when I tipped him up that day. I was there hosting that day and I tipped him up. However, you know, for going at Chester was all over the shop that day. Chester's specialist course anyway in itself. He finished in a bump, so the fifth out of seven that day actually wasn't as bad as it reads on the pure form. They were finished in a tight pack, so it was only sort of a few, well, not even really a length between the first few. Ron the Brocklesby on his debut over five furlongs, which again, cracking start to his career, and a sixth length second last time out of Pontefract, which would make you kind of doubt him going into this. However, I'm going to hold on to how Richard Fahey holds him at high regards. And as you say, he's got a good record in this race. So I could see him running into a place at a big price.
Yeah, he's 25-1 in the market at the moment, Show Me, Show Me. So with extra places on offer, could be a nice way in. I was talking to Stephen Powell, who works on William Hill Racing Radio, about this race yesterday as well. And we were talking about the claims of Betty's Hope, trained by Rod Millman, whose yard are flying. They've gone to the trouble to book Sylvester D'Souza and arrives here chasing the hat-trick. And the fact that she's drawn in stall 25, I thought was a positive. That's maybe another one to consider at big prices. She's 25-1 at the moment. I don't think Taxi Waller's out of it as well for Archie Watson. Started life pretty encouragingly. Got off the mark at Brighton on the third time of asking. Was then eighth in the Windsor Castle at Royal Ascot. So that's not a bad piece of form either. There's plenty you could create any kind of claims for in here. But to summarise your thoughts, you liked a couple, didn't you?
Yes.
Towards the top end of the market, Never in Paris?
Yes, I would, to take on Ventura Rebel. Ventura Rebel, most likely winner. However, for me personally, I would be backing Never in Paris then. And Show Me, Show Me at an each-way price.
Couple to consider then at nice prices in the Weatherby's Super Sprint. That's the feature on the card at Newbury there. Good card at Newbury on Saturday afternoon. Kate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us. Good luck and enjoy the action on Saturday.
Thank you so much for having me.
There you go, the thoughts of Kate Tracy then on Saturday's action. You'll hear it all on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:25pm. Ollie Pimlott, Craig Forsyth and Andy Holding will be the team in the studio. Very busy day, some top class racing along the way as well. The Irish Oaks at the Curragh. We've got the Weatherby Super Sprint at Newbury, as we just mentioned there. Alongside that, Good Day at Market Raisin, the Summer Handicap Hurdle and the Summer Plate on that card. We've got Newmarket, Ripon and Cartmel as well in the afternoon, and Doncaster and Haydock in the evening. A Super Saturday in prospect. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.